There we go. That's better. Welcome. My name is Dan Rainier from Milestone Consulting Group. Over here we have Brandon Thornton. I want to just take a second to introduce Brandon a little bit here. Brandon is a co-founder of Milestone Consulting Group along with his business partner, Dave Fisher, who's sitting back there in the corner. And Brandon is also our Chief Operations Officer. And I wanted to point that out because Brandon has a very active interest in resource management based on his position in the company and being an operations guy. Okay, so you have a really great resource to stand in front of you here for a little while today and talk about resource management. And then when Brandon's done, I'm going to get up there in Project Server and take you on a little bit of a tour. Okay, so with that, it's all yours.
Thanks, Dan. So Dan is the presenter here. I get to convey all the background information. So hopefully, if you can put up with my somewhat dry delivery style, after about 20 minutes, we'll get a little edutainment in as well. So this is my entry into the conference's most hideous slide contest. But I was just wondering, of those of you here, how many have seen some sort of a spreadsheet that looks like this? Okay, unanimous. And I point this out because, unfortunately, I've been working with Project Server for a long time. This is actually very much like a spreadsheet that a client brought to me in 1999 as we were awaiting the release of that wonderful product, Project Central. This client said, "I'm hoping, Brandon, that Project Central can help me paint this picture from a resource perspective." So here we are, 15, 14 years later, depending on your reckoning of time, and still you can paint this picture, but only from the perspective of the project manager. So I took this slide or spreadsheet to a very much trusted friend of mine, and I said, "Mike, help me out. I'm kind of new to consulting on project management, and these people are showing me this allocation picture that they get painted by their resource managers. There's department heads, those types of people." And I said, "Mike, what do I tell these people?" And he said, "Well, you got to explain to them that they're going about this all wrong. Okay? They're painting a false picture, because what they really need to do is they really need to get that list of projects. They need to get better at estimating. They need to do all of these things, because resource management is the reward for doing everything right in project and portfolio management." I said, How many of you identify with that statement? How many of you would completely agree with it? Well, I bought in hook, line, and sinker. And took this particular client on an interesting ride. We made their project management much better. We did a lot of great things, but we never really got the whole resource picture prepared for them. They never had anything to go to executive leadership and say, "This is really what we've got," because we never could define all of the work in a project, a temporary endeavor context. Okay? So over time, I've started to ask myself some questions. Are we going to be able to develop people that well? I had somebody come up to me right before this presentation and say, "I've been working out at a client in Minneapolis, and I'm really refreshed because I walk around, and everybody there has been there for 20 years, 25 years, and they're really engaged, and they really like the company they work with. But I don't think that's the culture that we're generally dealing with in the United States anymore." So trying to develop the enterprise, all the skills of all the people in the organization to the level that we can do this right for every bit of work is just not, in my mind, feasible. Okay? We work with a number of very innovative companies. We really like innovative companies. They're fun to work with. They have creative, fun cultures. A lot of innovative companies feel that this kind of rigor that this statement suggests is not appropriate for an innovative culture. I would argue that it is, but we need to take a more stealthy approach sometimes. And the final question that has really kind of sealed the deal and made me wonder if there's got to be some sort of a balance is this one right here. Is management going to wait for me to get everything right, for me to get a full project list, for me to get real estimates, to understand a picture of what we can do when? I don't think so. Okay? So if you take nothing else out of this presentation about resource management made easy, it's the idea that we believe that the most effective way, and the way that's demonstrated with our recent client experience, is the most effective way to do resource portfolio management is to come up with a full picture of the resource portfolio days in 30 days. Now, 30 days is an arbitrary number, maybe extremely aggressive, but what the point we're trying to make here is a very, very aggressive target at painting the picture, okay? We want to come up with some very simple pictures that communicate a complex problem. So I want to make this last point here very clear. If you do this very quick journey to a picture, it is going to be fraught with challenges. It will have estimates that are not accurate. It will be omitting critical work that you forgot to identify. It will make assumptions about the fungibility or replaceability of resources that are not accurate. It will make a lot of assumptions, okay? But what our experience has demonstrated is that once you paint this picture, you get executive support and people start to ask questions about why is this data not exactly what we were expecting, and you have the luxury of taking time to improve that picture. And by taking a good cut at a resource portfolio, you're actually able to get the information that helps you do project management and portfolio management better. Okay? So we wanted to take a moment to kind of take a look at what does this big picture look like. Then we wanted to talk about resource management background. We're going to define a lot of terms that everybody here probably already knows. Want to make sure we're talking about a horse of the same color, though. We're trying to simplify the definition of some of these terms. Some of these terms you'll have very complicated definitions for. We'll try and keep them short and simple. We're going to cover some of the best practices that drive simplicity. Okay? So this presentation is all about driving simplicity, making a complex problem simple. We make a lot of assumptions. We know that everybody in this conference, or most people in this conference, are aware of a lot of things that you have to do to build out the detail, but this presentation is about making it simple, not making it hard, okay? We'll talk a little bit about the history of Project Server as an RM tool, okay? This is gonna be an interesting discussion. I hope nobody from Microsoft takes any offense. Generally positive feedback, but resource management has been a hole in this tool for a long time. It's Project Server. We are going to demonstrate a product that we have built for Project Server. We call it RPM. It really highlights ways to close gaps in the product as it exists. Whether or not you buy into our approach for doing this, hopefully it will make you look at some Project Server functionality a little bit differently than you have before. And whether or not you buy into our tool, I think you can take some of the things back and apply them to your reports, your configuration of Project Server. We'll finish with some summary and Q&A. So, big picture, we want to paint to leadership. This is just an example. This is a dashboard we've delivered. It's really simple. Again, simple picture. And it's showing an allocation report for the next 3 months. I wanted to show some of the characteristics of that we use. Up here we have a KPI. That was interesting. We have a set of KPIs, and these KPIs are a variance from a target value. Right? Red, over-allocated is not red, and under-allocated is not yellow, green is not okay. We're looking at some variance. This variance tolerance changes as you get better at resource management. So red may mean double booked, may mean quadruple booked. and yellow may be double booked. But over time, you want to narrow these tolerances, and so some sort of a KPI that drives focus. Based on this information, we move people over to the upper left here, where you will see assigned work and capacity, and you immediately get a picture. This always needs to be drilled down at an executive level. So if you highlight an analyst, if we weren't in PowerPoint, if we were actually in PowerView where this is done, you're going to see a department or individual resources or whatever that hold this role that are impacted, be able to get more information about them, as well as get more information about the strategies, projects, initiatives, programs that utilize that role or person. Okay, so this is more of a current status. We find that these kinds of resource allocation pictures fall into a current status. And then this one we wanted to take right out of Project Server. If you're familiar with the portfolio analysis functionality, this is actually the resource balancing view. It's a very good view if you can get the demand data necessary to drive it. Okay, and so the next few slides are going to be about how do we get that demand data. Up here we have the basic availability of people by role. We have critical initiatives we need to staff, and we have easily highlighted the different roles that we're unable to staff. Okay. So if you're able to do these, just curious. I've observed several different assessments of why projects don't get done. I'm just curious if somebody wants to throw out what the top reasons in these assessments have been. No clear requirements, okay. Anyway. What's that? Politics. That's certainly true in Washington. Too much risk? Thank you. No. Okay, we can continue with the presentation now. No. Those all very good reasons, but I'll quote for you surveys done by PMI, CIO Magazine, and some other reputable organizations. And one of the top three reasons for failure in every study I looked at was inappropriately prepared resources, lack of critical human resources, distracted employees, lack of stakeholder engagement, all indicative of too many people doing too many different things. Okay? So, as we've done our own work, we've surveyed about a little over 1,000 different leaders throughout 150 different organizations that we have helped with PPM. And over the 4 or 5 years that we've been doing this kind of planning survey, 76% of those leaders said that painting a resource demand and capacity picture was the most critical outcome they wanted from Microsoft's PPM solution. 100% had it as one of their top three goals. Okay, so we think this is relevant, further kind of underscored and underlined by this morning's keynote presentation where resource engagement was mentioned as a key goal of Microsoft's. So we like this validation. But when you do this, you know that the projects you approve will complete. Unlike one organization, we went into a $110 million portfolio, 17 strategic initiatives on average per year, on average 6 of them done. Okay? They knew they had the money. They spent the money. They didn't get the results. Out there example, but it does happen. Okay, more projects complete on time and on budget because people are engaged in their work. As you know, if resources aren't applied, project durations go long, churn increases, all kinds of problems that lead to employee sat and such. So just a few simple definitions quickly. And these are really so that Dan's presentation of kind of our workflow will make sense. Resource manager. We go into different organizations, we start talking as consultants about resource managers. People go, There's no position in my company called resource manager. Nope, they're directors, senior managers, managers, supervisors, team leads. Anybody that's responsible for making sure that people are fully engaged in meaningful work. Okay? They often use spreadsheets like this to do it. They use napkins. They use their years of experience about what their different people are doing. They get timesheet data back from folks. But these are people managing that allocation and making sure that people are engaged but not overburdened. We hear this role skill thing thrown around. I think a lot of people use these two terms a little bit interchangeably. I'm going to define a little nuanced definition between them. People generally have multiple skills, okay? You may not think I have very many skills right now, but I do have some skills. My role is to review our operational performance, primary role. There are other things I do, like stand up and give presentations. I'm not as good at that as I am at managing our operations, I hope. But the highest value use of my time is doing operations management, okay? So when we talk about role, we're generally talking about one thing people do. When we talk about skills, we're talking about lots of things. And if you want to make resource portfolio management easy, start with roles. Don't worry so much about skills. Skills get into the detail. Yes, you have to deal with them. But when you're talking about high-level demand capacity management, getting into individual skills makes things very difficult. Okay. All right. How many of you here have formal time tracking procedures in the organization you work in? Holy cow. Wow. That shoots the whole point of this slide. No. All right. Regroup. Okay. So, demand and capacity management, we say, is the practice of forecasting all demands placed on human resources. Okay? Of looking at our capacity of people with similar traits, generally roles, playing on the definition from the previous slide, and then balancing to make sure that those two things, demand and capacity, don't get too far out of whack. Okay? You know what I say forecasting. All of you have got it already figured out. You have already got all your time tracking done, so my point here is somewhat moot. But the forecasting part of this is important. We worked with a company here in Orange County, actually over in Newport Beach. Yeah, it was Newport Beach. And this company taught us a lot back in 2003. We were talking to them about doing time tracking as part of doing resource management, and they said, well, let's try something different. And we sat down, and all we did was forecast. We never actually did any time tracking. And we made more progress with that organization in a shorter period of time than we did by time tracking. To get good, so making this simple, kind of throw out the time tracking. Don't worry about it. Worry about forecasting. But eventually, you need the data to validate the information you're collecting. So time tracking does become important as you're trying to validate forecasts. All right, so now we kind of get into the meat of what we're kind of trying to talk about here. So matrix management. Very few of us probably work for projectized organizations. Very few of us work for functional organizations. Most of us end up working in some sort of a matrix. Okay. If we look at the functional, we call these, anyone? Who are the functional managers generally? Resource managers, all right. So our resource managers, our project managers. These two people need to talk to evaluate and work through challenges. Okay. Mr. Rainier, just one other note here. Mr. Rainier is going to spend a little bit of time talking to you about how we can actually get these two perspectives documented using Project Server as it exists today, okay, and actually use that as a method for collaboration between those two roles. If you figure that out in advance, you're in good shape. So any good presentation on making something simple comes up with some sort of a TLA, or in this case, an FLA, a three-letter acronym that describes everything you need to know and summarizes it. So here was our best attempt at some sort of a four-letter acronym. It's not rocket science. We're not designing intercontinental ballistic missiles, okay? You want to get big bang for your resource management effort, you need to make sure you identify all resource demands. That is, means forecast. We want you to collaborate with the facts. Everybody works with somebody in their organization who's very good at looking very busy. So we want to make sure we have facts. We want to make sure we balance. We'll talk about that in a moment. And we want to manage by exception. These problems, complex, too complex to deal with every situation, need controls in place to manage by exception. When we say identify all resource demands, I read it was a refresher actually, something I'd read from PMI a long time ago. It said, as a project manager, you should assign your resources no more than 6 hours per day on your project. Anybody remember this kind of from PMI literature? I read that and I thought to myself, the people on my support team or some of the process engineering folks that I've worked in the past who are out in the plant doing work, how many of those would you want to assign 6 hours per day? How's that going to work out for you? So the whole concept here is, we want to make sure that as you think about resource management, you actually think about your operational support baseline. Don't make a gross oversimplification, because it varies, if not based on person, it varies based on role. Okay? Next, don't forget about admin and overhead, the time people are out of the office, all that sort of stuff. You track it in your timesheet. Make sure you forecast it too. Okay? We're all here based on the fact that we're all doing time tracking. I'm guessing we're fairly good at forecasting, plan, and executing projects. But I'm amazed how many people forget about the pipeline. They go through the pipeline, they get information about their business case, they spend a lot of time getting this information, developing the business case, doing architectures, and they don't even bother to ask a quick question from each resource manager or from each team member, give me a thumb in the air, how long is this going to take? This does not need to be, in keeping this simple, this does not need to be a rigorous process. This needs to be a simple solicitation of an estimate and then get better over time. And Dan's also going to spend a little bit of time showing you one way that we do that. Okay? So this idea of collaborate with facts, not feelings, we wanted to come up with the four different roles we believe are involved in this conversation. And I'll just outline what we think goes back and forth between these folks. Team member to resource manager. I don't really care about this person, right? Make them work. No, we need to solicit their. These are the experts, right? Expert judgment. Talk to them. Resource manager to project manager. This is the one that we're really going to key in on today, because we think there's so much opportunity to do more with this product. I think my resource is working on your project 50% of the time. Well, this task just got slipped and I won't be able to use them for the next 2 months, okay? This dialogue needs to occur. It's nice if there are facts and this dialogue can occur on an exception basis rather than picking up the phone every time this happens, okay? And everybody, all these three need to inform leadership of where our demand capacity situation is, so that leadership can hopefully make decisions about what are our greatest priorities and where do we need to cut. Okay, so just a couple more points here and then I'll turn this over to Dan. Wanted to just talk about balancing demand and capacity. When we start making this easy, we have shown here a role-based. Use roles, not skills. Make sure your role describes multiple people. Okay? If you find yourself with a team of 400 and 1,600 roles, odds are you've kind of missed this definition between role and skill. Some of you are probably not from the United States here. We talk about using 8 and 40. This is a term the 40-hour work week being the entire time that a resource is here. Okay? When we define capacity, a lot of people will just say, well, that admin time and that support time and stuff we talked about, that capacity doesn't exist. That makes it invisible. It becomes something nobody can make a decision on. So we want you to actually consider showing that full capacity, showing the full FTEs, and showing that support admin time has taken away from that so that you can make decisions to spend resources within your checkbook. If somebody doesn't make a decision, eventually a decision is going to be made about what needs to go away, and the person with the least information, least qualified to make that decision, is going to end up making it. Okay? When we do our little presentation of the RPM tool and some of the things we've done with Project Server, Dan is going to show you some balancing by individual. Okay? So this kind of maybe seems to violate. So what we're talking about here is on the pipeline, as we intake projects, we want to balance by role, not person. Okay? Dan is actually going to show you some balancing by person when we get into more project execution. Managed by exception. I'm amazed how many people I will talk to, and they'll look at a graph like this, or we'll be talking about how they get some more projects done, and they'll say, well, I don't know how we get more projects done. Well, do you have a critical resource? And then they start saying things like, the DBAs are always getting stuff late to us, okay? We can never get anything out of legal. We can't get resources allocated from X. And if they put a graph up here like this, they'd see what we're seeing here for the DBAs. And our whole concept of managed by exception is that people will spend a lot of time worried about this small disparity in developers, project managers, and business analysts when the elephant in the room really is the DBAs. And this is what's keeping the work from getting done in your organization. So either get rid of projects that use them, or find a way to supplement that staff. Because you are creating, by having this little demand and capacity picture here, you are creating churn on every project that uses DBAs. You are creating inefficiency by the fact that you have failed to resolve your bottleneck resource. Okay? Ellie Goldratt, familiar with Goldratt's writing, this is your manufacturing bottleneck right there. One other point here, I always encourage people to take 5 minutes to write down exceptions that occur in their organization. We go, we do our annual plan, we do our quarterly plan, we have our project approved list. Stuff happens. Okay? Compliance is a very common issue. Some compliance in the financial sector comes in. It trumps everything. We got to comply right now. We go ahead, we reallocate resources, slide this thing in, and we forget to deauthorize some other things. We forget to replan. Okay? So I ask people, take just 5 minutes, write down those exceptions that occur in your organization, and remember that when one of those happens, you're going to sit down with your project portfolio and do a little bit of replanning. All right. So just a couple comments on Project Server as a tool for resource management. Remember, it's Project Server. Everything in Project Server is a project. Okay, so we kind of wanted to rebrand those EPTs where you go to File, New, or whatever. So we rebranded them as Enterprise Work Types or Work Plans. So Dan, when he does this demonstration, if he talks about an administrative work plan as a project, he owes me $5. Okay, so just flag it if you catch him. All right. So resource plans. Is everybody familiar with the resource plans functionality in the tool? Just a quick show of hands. Excellent. So we're going to help you look at resource plans a little bit differently. They were introduced in 2007 as a way of doing early planning, and we like that. We like that early planning because we were just talking about how important that demand was. Well, once you're done with your early planning and you're on into execution, watch what Dan's showing you about a different way to think about resource plans than Microsoft intended that works really, really well as a dialogue tool between resource manager and project manager. Okay, reporting. This is always a favorite topic when you're talking about Microsoft Project Server. The Resource Center is great if you're a resource manager only wanting to look at things. Pretty much everything else is an exercise left to the user. That would be all of you. And then I guess our chief criticism, and really my only real criticism, other than the branding up here, my only criticism of Microsoft Project Server is you can't engage that resource manager, that person that is working with your most important people, the people that get work done. They can't engage in the process. It's very difficult for them. Okay? Everything is from a work plan-centric perspective, right? If you want to look at one person, you can look, but in order to provide any input, you've got to open everything they're doing and make changes, and that's just not, it's not friendly, okay? So Dan's going to run through. Dan is our software development resource manager extraordinaire today. He's going to run through a little non-project demand exercise. He's going to collect some estimates for pipeline projects. We're going to look at some of that resource manager, project manager negotiation to balance demand and capacity, and then take it away.
Thank you. Excuse me. I put together a script that I'm going to follow, okay, and I'm going to follow it very, very carefully. Normally, when I do a presentation that's related to Microsoft Project, I'm all over the place. If you want to see one of those, I'm doing one tomorrow, okay? But today, I'm just going to stay really focused on a script to highlight many of the things that Brandon was talking about. So here we go. I'm going to start with administrative and operations work, and here's the script. I have been asked to manage resource allocation for a complete day for the IT development resources I manage using RPM for Project Server. I was fond of Excel, okay, but I had been assured this would be an easy transition from Excel to Project Server, thanks in large part to RPM. My first line of business was to staff non-project work plans, so I'll begin by showing you how I carried that out. So I'm going to, let me change my roles real quick here, because right now I'm supposed to be in as the resource manager. There we go. Okay? So I'll show you how I carried this out. So by navigating to the Project Center in PWA, okay, and through our custom operations activities and administrative responsibilities enterprise project work types, I created two work plans for allocating my resources to these non-project work initiatives. Okay? So what I'm going to do is go ahead and select these two rows for these non-project work initiatives. I'm going to head off into RPM by clicking Resource Management, our resource portfolio management tool. And at this point, I'm simply looking at projects through RPM. No resource plans have been created yet. So now, I'm going to go ahead and select these project rows, and I'm going to click Add Resources. Now, this dialog box I currently have configured to be filtered for the development role, the team of resources that I'm responsible for. So I'm going to click on Aaron Kahn, scroll down, hold the Shift key down, and click on Derek Graham, and add these resources to the selected resources window. I'm going to go ahead and choose Continue, and now on the ribbon, I'll click Submit Changes. Okay, so at this point, I now Risk management, right, Kevin? Wasn't that you that said risk management earlier? See, I was just cruising along there, and I had no idea you couldn't hear me. Here. Just. Is that better? Sorry about that. Okay, so let me backtrack a little bit, just to make sure you understood what I did. Using enterprise project work types, I created two work plans for non-project work activities. And then I selected those two non-project work activities and navigated into our RPM solution. And then I clicked on Add Resources, which was filtered for the development role that today I'm in charge of. Okay? And then at that point, I clicked Submit Changes up here in the upper left corner. And at this point, I now have access to two automatically generated resource plans, both of which I can edit simultaneously, something I cannot do without RPM. And I learned that other department managers can access and edit the same resource plans for their teams at the same time. This was a big selling point for me with RPM. See, Project Server's default functionality provides single read-write access to one resource plan at a time. We've solved that. Now, my preference for entering allocations for administrative and operations activities is yearly. RPM provides this and then distributes the allocation throughout the year, or whatever time period I select. This, too, I like about RPM more so than Excel. So I'm going to navigate up here and click Select Settings, and I'm going to change my time scale to years and choose Continue. Now, for administrative responsibilities, I tend to, at least today, allocate my entire team at 0.1 FTE, 10% for the year. And I did this by clicking in this allocation cell here for Aaron Kahn and typing in 0.1. And then using drag and drop, all I have to do is drag that allocation down, and I have now staffed my IT development administrative responsibilities resource plan. I really like the ability to drag and drop values in RPM. Now, prior to being asked to use RPM, I was in the process of creating my annual Excel spreadsheet for 2014. So for operations activities, I decided to copy from my Excel spreadsheet, copy my allocations from my Excel spreadsheet, because I was told I could easily copy and paste data from Excel into Project Server. Okay? So I'm going to head over to my Excel spreadsheet. I'm not an Excel guru, but there it is. I'll scroll down a little bit, and I'm going to drag these allocations that I typed into Excel, and I'm going to copy those and then go back to Project Server through the RPM tool, click in that allocation cell there for Aaron Kahn, and then paste those values in. Okay? So far, so good. I'm going to choose Submit Changes. And after my changes are submitted, which, by the way, the server takes care of checking in and checking out the resource plans simultaneously for me and any other resource manager that's using this, I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to navigate back to Select Settings, change the time scale to months, and choose Continue, and there you go. At this point, all non-project work plans for my development role have been staffed and allocated. Now, with this allocation information entered through RPM, I can take advantage of Resource Center views to graphically review allocation. When I first completed this exercise, we had just hired somebody named Aaron Kahn, a very talented software developer we added to our role. I'll now show you a graphical representation of Aaron's administrative and operations activities, okay, and his allocation for 2014. So right here from within RPM, I can just select this row for Aaron Kahn and navigate to resource availability. Okay, I'll go ahead and maximize that window. There's a little refresh issue going on there. And I'll change the view to assignment work by project. Okay, so there it is. I have a new hire named Aaron Kahn. Our process says we want to get his administrative and operations allocations in the system. So as Brandon talked about, we can immediately begin thinking about balancing demand and capacity for a new hire. So there's his current demand for administrative and operations work. We can see his capacity line up above. This gives anybody in the organization now a great idea of his capacity for project work. All right, so far so good. Now, in Brandon's discussion, he spoke of the importance of managing allocation by roles within the organization. If we fast forward a bit, and based on allocations including non-project and project work currently in my system for my development team, with RPM, I can, and much more efficiently, provide management with a clear picture of the current demand on the role I'm responsible for through project server views. Okay, so I'll go ahead and close this particular view here, and this time I'll go ahead and drag and select Aaron through Derek, everybody in my role, and click on resource availability. I'll maximize this window here, and there you go. All that information that you see there is based on resource plans managed by me, the resource manager. All the bars currently painted are not reflective of project plan allocation, although my project managers are busy working their constraint-based projects, and their allocation is in the system, something I'm going to look at shortly. But when Brandon talked about balancing demand and capacity from a role-based perspective, there it is. Something I can manage, and I work hard as a resource manager to keep as smooth of an allocation as I can, knowing that project managers are going to have peaks and valleys, and that's what the two of us are going to have to work together on throughout the life of projects. All right? So far, so good. I'm going to go ahead and close this view here and navigate back to the Project Center. I've now taken care of the first part of this demo. Brandon, in his presentation, talked about the pipeline, and I have to keep an eye on that. Every once in a while, he calls me and he says, hey, Dan, we've got some things in the pipeline. I need some high-level role-based estimates. Right. So I'm going to navigate up here and click on Projects, and I have a custom view here that I call Pipeline Project Work Plans. And I'll go ahead and zoom out on these a little bit, and there they are. Now, again, the next task I was given was to provide role-based effort allocations for projects in the pipeline. The two work plans in the pipeline requiring my attention include the device driver software project and the help desk software project. Prior to entering information, I called upon the RPM estimating history report to assist with forecasting an accurate estimate in hours, which is what Brandon asked for. Please remember, my responsibility is to focus on the development role only. What's great about RPM is managers of all roles can access reports and edit resource plans simultaneously. So here's how I did this. I'm going to hold the control key down here, and I'm going to click on my RPM estimating history report. Okay, if you have detailed questions about these reports and you want to talk to us about these afterwards, that would be great. Brandon's a great resource for that. And there's my report based on my development role. Now, in reviewing this report, which includes projects in the near term, project work plans in the near term, there's one project here that's not similar to those in the pipeline. So I'm going to open up this list of projects here and deselect CMS software and click Apply. And now I have a report based on hours that shows me information based on initial estimates, estimate after requirements, estimate after design, in hours, so I can make a decision about putting an hours estimate on these pipeline projects. And after reviewing this, I'm thinking about 900 hours across a 5 to 6 month time frame would be an accurate estimate to take care of Brandon's need. So I'm going to go ahead and close this report and take you back to the Resource Center and Project Server, which I have filtered right now for my particular role. And I'm going to select my generic role-based resource name developer and head back to RPM. Now, the time frame that Brandon and I have been talking about for these pipeline projects, okay, is based on February 1 to October 31, and I'm going to change my time scale to years, but the numbers that I enter, the 900 hours I enter for each of these pipeline projects, will fit within that 2-1 to 10-31 time frame. And he asked for hours, not FTE, in this situation. Pardon me? Thank you, yes. I got a little bit ahead of myself there, so let's go back and change that to May.
And
now, my estimate in this time frame was 900 hours. I've now entered those values in. All I have to do at this point is click Submit Changes. Now, from a functionality perspective, I have simultaneously once again edited two resource plans. Had I desired, I could have entered RPM from a project perspective to input these values. If I drag and select these rows here, and choose View Associated, that's going to take me to a project-centric view where I could very easily have come into this view and edited the resource plans for my role or taken a look at any information that has also been added by the analyst resource manager, the installer resource manager, the project manager resource manager, etc. So this is a real strong point and a value-add point of RPM is multiple access to multiple resource plans at any point in time. Okay? For me, someone fond of Excel today, right? This is really important. All right? So far, so good. I'm going to navigate back to the Project Center. I've now taken care of very easily two things that I have been asked to do. Now, the one that's nearest and dearest to my heart here, because I'm a longtime Microsoft project guy, is the relationship between the resource manager and the project manager. Okay? With RPM, it is very easy for me to enter and manage non-project work allocations and provide work estimates for pipeline projects. Along with managing non-project work and communicating with management on pipeline projects, a good part of my day and a very important part of my day is spent interacting with project managers. For this, RPM has proven to be of great assistance. So I'm going to begin with my resource manager role and very carefully take you through this, and then I'll put on a project manager hat, and we will jump into Microsoft Project as well. Here's the story we've been building on. As previously stated, Aaron Kahn was recently hired to fulfill a need within our development role. Also, I have been in discussions with Judy Liu, project manager of the Disk Controller software project, in regards to a critical development resource named Bradley Beck. Bradley's assignment to another project, DVD drive software, is more important. So we are working together to figure out the best allocation of this critical resource, Bradley Beck. So here's what transpired and how RPM assists my daily interaction with project managers. I'm going to navigate to the Resource Center. In the Resource Center, I'm going to select this role here for Bradley Beck and head back into RPM. I'm going to choose Select Settings. The time frame now that I'm interested in is indeed 2-1 to 10-31. Okay? I want to look at this monthly, and now I want to get back into that frame of mind I'm normally in as a resource manager, FTE, and I'll choose Continue. Now, based on the screen resolution here, I'll grab this divider and scoot it over to the left, and here's what I want to describe to you. At this point, what you are seeing is the FTE allocation plan I manage as a resource manager. I do everything I can to keep allocations in projects as smooth as possible. I know that project manager allocations will have peaks and valleys based on the complexities of managing projects. The trick is to not let the resource manager and the project manager allocations get too far apart. Okay? So what can I do as a resource manager here? Well, I can manage multiple resource plans for my FTE allocations, which get viewed by management quite frequently. But I can also come up here on the ribbon and click on Project Plan, and now RPM will also show me what the current allocation is in FTEs from the project plans. So all of my project managers are busy working their constraint-based projects, and they're allocating people out. I'm showing a picture to management of how I'm allocating people out to projects, but if I wanted to, I could switch this environment here and show a project plan allocation in those resource availability views. The beauty here is I have access to both right here. Now, this picture leads to good discussion, allows both parties to manage allocation pictures appropriately. Again, the trick is to not let them get too far apart. Now, even though this is excellent information, my preference is to review RPM reports specifically designed to assist me in critical resource allocation situations. So I'll take a minute to show you a couple of those reports. I'm going to hold my control key down, and the first report I'm going to click on is RPM Allocation Exceptions. That opens a new tab here in Internet Explorer. Now, from a parameters perspective, I'm going to start with the development group because that is my role. The time frame that I'm interested in here again is 2-1 to 10-31. Okay. And beneath the 2 date, you'll notice under allocation threshold and over allocation threshold, which I can edit, but I'm not going to right now. I want a report that shows me resources that are allocated less than 80% or greater than 120%. All I have to do is click Apply, okay, and this information loads on the screen. Now, I have a lot of resources that I manage, but the story is I'm really focused on Bradley Beck, and I can see very clearly in the month of April that he indeed is greater than 120%. That concerns me. Based on that, I made a decision to change the over-allocation threshold to 1.1, and I'll go ahead and click Apply. The report is regenerated, and now it's very clear to me that we indeed have a problem, right? We got Bradley Beck sitting there at 120% in the month of March, 130 in the month of April, 120 in the month of May, right? That is of concern, but this spurned good discussion. And again, I can base this on my FTE allocations that I manage smoothly and look at those project allocations that have peaks and valleys. I'm going to close this report and take you to one more report. I'll hold the control key down, and this time we'll look at it from a project perspective. I'll choose RPM understaffed projects, navigate up to this new tab that's opened, and here's another example of a report generated through RPM. Where when I look at this from a project perspective, in Judy's project disk controller software, it's very clear that we have issues out in this time frame in this project. And if I scroll down, if you can read this text, it says negative variance indicates the resource plan has a lower allocation than required by the project plan. So RPM is actively looking at what I've put in as a resource manager and what the project manager currently has in his or her plan, and it's coming back and telling me, I've got differences, I have issues. And it's highlighting those things in red based on my threshold. Very, very good information for me as a resource manager. Okay? Now, again, it is clear to see that the primary over-allocation issue from a project perspective for Bradley Beck is during the months of March and April. Now I would like to show you RPM from a project manager's perspective. The project manager's name is Judy Liu. So I'm going to minimize this environment here. And let's go down and come in as Judy Liu. And there's Judy's desktop. Now, as a project manager, Judy has access to PWA. And as a project manager, Judy also has access to reports like RPM understaffed projects. And this is filtered based on her projects. Okay, so I'm going to close this reporting services browser. Judy can navigate to the Resource Center, and she too can select a row for Bradley Beck and navigate off into RPM. Okay? So she has access to the exact same information that I do, where at any point in time, she can go look at the allocation that I've put in this system for this particular resource of mine to her project. Okay? And this can be configured in a way guaranteed that this information will be read-only to the project manager. And then, of course, our project manager can select project plan, and just like me, the resource manager, go out and analyze time periods based on what I have granted and what's currently allocated in that Microsoft project work plan. Now, this is a resource-centric view. She can click on Disk Controller Software Project, navigate to View Associated, and now she has the ability here to take a look at everybody on the team, not just my resources, but resources that are owned by other resource managers. She can look at their FTE allocations, what's currently loaded from the Microsoft project schedules. Everything is here for her. So it's very important, once again, to point out that the PM can have the same access to RPM allocation and reports. Now, coming down the home stretch. At this point, Judy Liu decided to review the Disk Controller Software Project in Microsoft Project. So we'll navigate back over here to the Project Center, and we'll go ahead and click on this little icon right here. Here's a Microsoft Project tip for you. When you click on this icon here in 2013, it automatically opens and checks out your project in Microsoft Project. You don't have to take that extra step to check out your file. I'll grab the divider between the task sheet and the Gantt chart and scoot it left, and we'll go to View Entire Project. Now, let's talk resource leveling for a minute. In the indicators column, there's a fair number of resource over allocation indicators. Okay? Well, if we navigate up to resource and head over to leveling options, in our organization, we're mostly concerned with month-by-month allocations. So we've instructed our project manager to make sure her leveling sensitivity setting in project is set to month-by-month, and that she has done. Now, within project, Judy has access to my resource manager allocations, which she can view, and if desired, she can invoke leveling strategies to resolve overallocation within my allocations. Here's how she can review this information. I'm going to right-click over a blank area on the Gantt chart and choose Show Split. Select task number 2 to determine project scope. And the first thing I'm going to do is double-click on Bradley Beck, because I know in the resource information dialog box that resource availability is based on the default max units value of 100%. There are no changes here. But right here in project, Judy has an RPM tab. On that RPM tab, she can click Load Allocations. Now, if you had a keen eye, more resource overallocation indicators just appeared. Now, if she goes down and double clicks on Mr. Beck, take a look at available from and available to. That now represents exactly how my FTE allocation plan is through RPM in PWA. So as a project manager, when I'm looking at overallocation, I don't have to go back to PWA. I can temporarily load these allocations, and now I can make decisions. Do I want to call upon Microsoft Project's leveling algorithms to try and solve some of these issues? Do I want to do what we call interactive scheduling and leveling? When Project 2010 was put out, they added all kinds of nice new incremental leveling strategies. I have all kinds of things that I can do to solve this, but we got together and we had a meeting and we made a decision after she cleared those allocations and set everything back to the default. Okay? In our meeting, we said, you know, let's do this instead. We have this new hire named Aaron Kahn. Aaron doesn't have any project work yet. Let's relieve some of this burden on Bradley Beck by navigating to Build Team from Enterprise. And let's select Bradley Beck. We'll match over for our development role. We've got Aaron selected. We're going to replace Bradley Beck in this project and get him solely focused on that DVD drive software project that Steve Masters manages. And we'll click OK. Now we've solved overallocation for this critical resource. We'll navigate to File and go ahead and publish. Now, that's going to take a moment to publish. Any of you that are used to working with Microsoft Project, you would know that down on the bottom here, I can't quite see it for some reason with my screen resolution, but it's probably at 0% right now, then it'll jump to 78, and then that'll be done. So we'll give that just a moment. That's right. Now, Judy has done her job, so now it's time for me to finish this presentation here and do my job as a resource manager. I'm going to go ahead and close this file and check it in and exit out of project, and now we'll go back to my role as a resource manager. Now, there's a number of ways I could take care of my job at this point. Okay? Here are all the projects that I'm concerned about as the development resource manager. Now, one way I could do this, okay, is I could just go ahead and select the disk controller software project because I have some edits to make. Okay? I could hold the shift key down and select the DVD drive software project and head to RPM and go make my edits and multiple resource plans for Aaron Kahn and Bradley Beck, because there are changes now based on those project plans I need to make. Or I could navigate to the Resource Center, and in the Resource Center, I could select this row for Aaron Kahn, and then select this row for Bradley Beck, and head to RPM this way. Okay? I'll grab the divider based on my screen resolution and scoot it over to the left. Now, in the disk controller software project, we allocated out for Aaron Kahn all of this information here. That's the project plan data. Notice above, there is nothing from an FTE perspective in the resource plan just yet. So I'm just going to copy that data, and I'm taking the word of the project manager of the disk controller software project that that allocation is required. Okay? And for Bradley Beck, there's no more project plan allocation, so I'll go ahead and delete that cell and then drag this over. Now I've taken care of the disk controller software project. And here's my last point. Steve Masters, the project manager of DVD drive software, he said, Dan, you have them allocated out at 50 here. I need that 71. Well, now I have that room. So I'll copy that value and paste it there. And in this month here, okay, we need that 0.36, so we'll copy this here and we'll paste that there. And now Steve Masters and I are in sync. I'm editing multiple resource plans simultaneously, and when I click Submit Changes, I have now completed my responsibilities as a resource manager after negotiating with project managers. And all of this information now, through the reports that you've seen, is available. So my last step is to hold that Control key down and click on that RPM Allocation Exceptions report. That opens up a tab here. And I'm going to choose my development role, and now I have a much better picture. And there it is. For Aaron Kahn, you can see his numbers have gone up. The reason you don't see values in May or June for Aaron is because that's within the threshold parameters. He still has some more room for project work and maybe some non-project work. And Bradley Beck, now that we've taken him off the disk controller software project, that we've taken care of his needs in the DVD drive software project, maybe he can do a little more support work in that time, but I'm going to do my best to keep him away from more projects. Thank you.
All right. So just a couple of little summary points here. We wanted to kind of cover a few things that happened in that demo. What we were trying to do here was to give you a little bit different way to look at resource plans in Project Server. I hope we've done that. We built this tool to leverage that and to really work with the product. This presentation, we wanted you to be able to walk out of here with some useful tips on how to simplify resource modeling. We also wanted to show you some tricks in the tool. So we just put together a quick checklist of of things we're able to do with the RPM tool. Most of what we showed you, though, you can do with Project Server whether or not you choose to leverage our tool. I think the key points were trying to make it just a little bit easier. We showed you how to create support and administrative demand. You can do that in Project Server, certainly. Create your resource plans. We showed you the ability to estimate from multiple resource managers simultaneously. That's probably the most work that we spent doing, was enabling different resource managers access to the same work plans at the same time. You could do a report that gave you estimating help on past projects if you wanted. It's something that we thought was important. We wanted to be able to edit from a resource or a team perspective. And that resource-centric view, we believe, is important to engage that resource manager, and we feel that's really important to doing effective resource management. As part of our Collaborate with Facts, Not Feelings, we compared project manager and resource manager perspectives. You could do this with reports, but we've kind of already done the work. View the overall allocation information for a team. That's really easy with the Resource Center. View resource manager commitments in Microsoft Project. That's not really something you can do. Then we talked about balancing demand and capacity. I won't read each of these bullet points for you, but you saw the demo. So just to summarize, I think the beginning of this presentation, I said the most important thing that I was hoping you would take out of this is that there are ways, through making a lot of assumptions, to get this resource picture painted quickly. Focus on what does that picture tell your leadership. Focus first there, then start to fill in some of this administrative support picture. Start to do higher level estimates, allocation estimates on your pipeline projects. So identify all your work, not just the projects. We showed you different ways of doing this. Collaborate with facts, not feelings. Balancing demand and capacity. Again, I'll reiterate, if leadership fails to make choices about demand based on your available capacity, somebody will. And you don't want the person with the least information making those decisions. And then hopefully we showed you, by taking more an exception approach to allocations and highlighting gross over allocation situations, talking about compliance and replanning your portfolio, we've talked about managing by exceptions. So hopefully you've enjoyed our perspective on what's worked as we've rolled out resource management in organizations. If you'd like to know more, come see us at our booth 707, visit us on the web. And for the conference, we're kind of announcing with project hosts, we're actually making this tool available in their custom cloud solutions. So I thank you all very much for coming and for your attention and for a few laughs at my pathetic jokes. Thanks.